Welcome to Self-Proclaimed Intellectual.
You've just got a smile and hang out with intelligent people.
Well, hey everybody, this is Self-Proclaimed Intellectuals number 4. Adam, how are you doing?
Great.
Have you recovered since last time?
I'm better.
You're sounding much... It's settled into kind of like a raspy, but not sick.
I'm thinking about going country.
That's the right zone, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're there.
Sweet.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We have, as usual, 3 segments for you. We have a Philosophmores, where we're going to be discussing... we're going to say it's evolution versus creation, but...
Yeah.
What do we mean by that?
Yeah, don't get too excited or not excited or pissed already about that. We're not going to be debating which one's true.
That's right. Just similar to how we did with the global warming.
Yeah.
Was, you know... Whatever your opinion is, does it really make a difference?
We're going to be discussing why there's so much friction between the two.
Yes.
And if there needs to be.
Yep, agreed. Cool. So that one, we're going to... That'll be interesting because it's a very volatile topic.
It'll be hard. Yeah. Well, I won't go any more into it. It'll be... I think there's so many possibilities of rabbit trails and... soapboxes and all sorts of stuff that I'm going to have to...
You're going to have a busy job editing this one, I
yes,
think.
Yes, I think so. That's all right.
So the second segment we have is going to be a blindsided. I have a question for Adam that he is not prepared for. And Adam, I hope you're ready to get political on this one.
I am prepared for it.
I think you'll really like it. I think it'll be a great jumping point for some good discussion.
I thought you were just going to ask me something like, what do you want for Christmas? So I actually have my list here.
Dude, what is it? Just tell me. I want to know that too.
Oh, I don't really have a list.
You
lying.
Liar!
Dang it.
Can you make something up, like on the spot?
Yeah. I want world peace.
Oh, man. See, I would have come up with something much worse, and then people would have written this angry letter.
I want an iPhone 6.
See, there you
How
go.
Do you feel about Apple products,
Material,
Travis?
Oh, dude, that's another conversation for another day.
Yeah, I should.
Let me just pick up the one BlackBerry still in use from a non-business person.
Oh, nice.
It's me.
Yeah.
So that's something. And then our final segment is going to be a Near the Fringe, which I think is going to be a really good one, Adam. You had this idea for a subject, and I think it's fantastic.
And I think it's 100% doable.
we'll intro that one, but basically we're discussing whether we should kind of redo Australia in the sense of what would it be like if we kicked prisoners out of the nation instead of in prisons that we made.
Exactly. Put them on an island.
So we'll see what happens.
Before we start, I would like to make a, I don't know, caveat? Is that right? Is that a good word?
I think that's great.
That sounds kind of smart to me. you know, I was listening to our last podcast, and I hope that people are getting our correct reasoning for all of this. And I wanted to kind of throw it out there that, you know, although sometimes we might sound like we have our opinions set and we're completely... set in our ways. The whole point of this podcast is discussion, collaboration, and just, you know, and getting people to start conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't ever want to, there are going to be a few things that you will not convince me differently of. But most of the stuff we talk about, I'm still completely open to new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody ever has, you know, if somebody listening says, you know what, you guys' talk on global warming was ridiculous, and I have these specific reasons why we should be arguing that debate and why we should be. And if you know, if you send it in to us, I think that's great.
That's right.
And so, you know, don't just get angry at us or you know, because we're not on your opinion. We would love to hear more.
Yes. One of the things we want to do, we get excited when people disagree with us because it means that there's a dialogue. We want it to be intellectual. We want it to be, you know, well, polite and everything. But yeah, we like to go back and forth. So let's start it off.
All right.
Philosophmores.
All right, so Philosophmore for today is going to be a heavy one. And we're going to have to work through this carefully because it is evolution versus creationism in the sense that should we be butting heads as much as we do?
That's right. So when we're all careful about saying, well, this segment is about evolution versus creation, and the fact that we have to add any warnings to that...
That is the point.
That's the problem. Why do we have to make a big deal out of this?
Yes. I mean, I can almost guarantee you, you know, if somebody reads that that's what's going to be on this one, I mean, you are either boiling instantly or you're just ready to be, a lot of people will probably be ready to be frustrated with what I say.
Yep.
They're just assuming they're going to know. You know, they're assuming that exactly what side I'm on and stereotyping and just going into it.
Well, it's a very passionate debate.
It is.
And everyone has, it's not like one of those things where people go, oh, I could kind of go one way or the other on that.
Yeah.
It's definitely, this is what I think is the truth and here's why it matters.
Yeah, and most, you know, and most people's lives are centered one way or the other. Their whole life is centered around that issue.
Agreed.
So, well, let's go over, first of all, like what the problem is and kind of try to pinpoint who is the problem. And I, like I said, this is going to be touchy, and we'll try to do our best we can to, I mean, we have our opinions,
mm-hmm.
we have our sides, but we will try to cover both sides and kind of show how that is. But again, like kind of like on the global warming, you have your scientists and you have your religious,
mm-hmm.
and those are your sides,
mm-hmm.
and those are the sides that don't get along.
Yeah, there are definitely. So one of the things about this debate is that it's not just people that say A or B. There's a huge spectrum. So there are a lot of people that are theists, that people that believe in God or some mm-hmm. other divinity, and believe in the process of evolution as, you know, some sort of mix,
mm-hmm.
or like theistic evolution in the sense of, you know, maybe God put the first organisms here and then guided the evolution process, which kind of in one way answers one of the big questions that evolution leaves unanswered. How did it first get started?
and the other problem with this is that I see is your fringe sides or your portions of this spectrum that are very, very on one side or the other are usually the loudest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're hearing a lot in the media. And that's causing, I think, some of the problem as well.
Yes. So a lot of people, part of this was sort of motivated by the Bill Nye versus Ken Ham debate where they talked about this to, you know, ad nauseum. It was a huge, long debate. And a lot of people said that Bill Nye had nothing to gain. He only had something to lose by debating Ken Ham. What do you think about that?
I think we have a lot to lose. I think Bill Nye has a lot to lose, especially, and this is kind of getting into the core of it, and that's this the Bill Nye debate also is one of the biggest things that struck me as, or got me started on this, because I have such a, I love Bill Nye.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that I disagree with a number of the issues, and I'm going to be pointing out a lot of things I think he's blatantly wrong on, I still have an insane amount of respect for him.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's because I think he's that smart or if because I grew up with him and I just have this.
Well, I imagine that you sympathize with him mm-hmm. as a teacher too, because one of the things that he's great at, his real passion, his real skill is teaching and informing people in a way that's entertaining.
Yes. But I think he did have a large part to lose because his whole point of the debate and his big stance right now is that science is being halted in America and it's because of religious.
Yes.
And so by him debating in one way or the other, he could have just polarized a huge section of our country
mm-hmm.
to be angry at him. And that does, in a very hard way, halt science or halt his passion to get science going more.
Right, right. Anytime you, yeah. One of my things that I believe, and this is a small A-side, I try to keep these to like one sentence here, but Dale Carnegie is a huge hero of mine, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yes.
And one of the things he says is that nobody wins an argument. Once it becomes an argument, it's over. People will just become entrenched and you're done.
Yeah.
And I think that was a huge thing that Bill Nye had to lose there. Ken Ham gained a ton of publicity, got, you know, his whole viewpoint back in the media, and Bill Nye kind of had, like you said, the potential to make a lot of people angry.
Yeah. And it goes back to the classic thing with Ken Ham. Is there such thing as bad publicity?
That's right.
No, I mean, a lot of people that he was in the public eye with were angry at him or mm-hmm. ridiculing him, but
sure.
I also heard that it skyrocketed fundraising and mm-hmm. brought on new mm-hmm. projects. So
exactly. Well, one of the things that I wanted to say, and this is something that does bug me about how the case is presented on both sides. This is something that I think has become really way too political. And so the people on the creationist side or the religious side, if you will, they say, you know, the teaching of evolution is undermining the moral fiber of America. We're teaching our kids that we're nothing more than animals and therefore we should behave like animals.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's maybe a little extreme.
Yes.
And then on the flip side, you have the scientists that are saying, well, people are not, you know, kids are not going to be interested in science because it's just explained by God and that's not, you know, truth. It's not asking them curiosity. It's not teaching them to be curious.
Mm-hmm.
And to both of those, I say, fie and foo.
Yeah, I feel like those are, I feel like those are such ridiculous extremes, but yet those are like the main sides that are brought up in all these debates.
Yes. And whenever you log on to like, you know, internet message boards, that's where the most intelligent people in the world are.
Yes.
And those people are really polar.
No. Do people get angry on message boards?
I've heard that, but I've never seen it myself.
I've never been on those things. I don't go on the internet.
What is this magical series of tubes?
Well, let me read you a quote real night from Bill Nye. There's a recent article in Popular Science that says it's called Bill Nye Fights Back, and it's just focused completely around his fight, basically, as far as I can tell, against religion and stopping it from stopping scientific progress.
Okay.
And he makes a quote in there that says, when you have a portion of the population that believes in that, and he's talking about religion in general, it holds everybody back. The article does mention Christianity. I know in America, Christianity is always obviously the one that's comes up the
most prominent. Yeah.
But we are gonna, you know, in general, I'm gonna be referring to it as just religion because a lot of the other articles I've read, they spread across the whole world. Any religious thing at all is completely halting scientific progress.
Right.
To that, I think no.
Yeah. So that's a big point. You know, another one of the scientific evolutionary heroes is Richard Dawkins, very respected biologist.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that he is big on is that, you know, well, it's not just Islam that has terrorists that are the problem. It's everybody that's even remotely religious.
Yes.
And he's probably the most polar of them all, if you ask me.
Yeah. So again, I think the question here is what is the problem? And the scientific side is saying the problem is religion is getting in the way, and we have to ask, is it really? I know a lot of these are older, but I looked into, and I think it would be very easy to look into every scientific major breakthrough and thing created in the past 1,000 years and look at how many of those people are religious and ask yourself, is it really stopping science?
Yeah. So,
You have Copernicus, Kepler, Galileo, Newton, Kelvin, Boyle, and a large other list of things, including George Lemaître, who was a priest, who was the first person to come up with the Big Bang Theory.
Right. Yeah.
So is religion halting science?
I'm going to pause you, and I'm going to say that big list, at least one of those people is going to like cause somebody to disagree with you and be like, no, he was for real. Like,
I know.
But
oh well.
But
you get my
I'm
point,
totally
though.
With you. So, and one of the things that I think should be emphasized here is, no, you won't get religious people who don't believe in evolution studying evolutionary biology, but is that really hindering progress in things in areas like engineering or mathematics or physics? And I think no. I mean, most of those topics, chemistry is involved in the concept of evolution, but chemistry itself stands alone.
Yes.
You know, physics itself stands alone, whether or not you think the Big Bang Theory or not.
Well, and I think that's the problem is in so many of these, on the scientific side are the people, and I have a hard time saying the scientific side because not all scientists are doing this. It's a fraction of scientists that are against or are doing it. And I know this kind of gets into, I guess it kind of moves on the discussion, the other topics, but the scientific side says, well, you're relying on the Bible or religion to solve scientific problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I got a job and I was working with an evolutionist on creating a biological new type of nuclear-powered prosthetic arm.
Or medicine, something
you know,
like that, right?
Anything. We could both look at those cells or those things and say, these are amazing. And the only difference there would be, he would say,
why are they amazing?
They evolved this way. And I said, they were created this way. But we're still looking at the exact same thing and progressing and creating that engineering feat.
That's exactly it.
I feel, are there parts of science that the creation versus evolution affects? Yes. But there are so many that it doesn't.
Agreed. And I think that something that sums it up pretty well is that evolution, the study of where we came from anyway, it's sort of inherently backwards looking. It's hindsight. I mean, of course, you believe it's still happening if you were if you believe that. But where we came from, while it's important, what we have now is what we're going to carry going forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of developments are what can we do now? What can we do in the future? What happened in the past, especially, you know, the human body related.
Mm-hmm.
We've got what we have now, and that's however it came to be, that's our reality.
Well, and I know, and I feel maybe up to this point I've been pushing towards on the scientific side, but I also understand on the religious side we have a lot of the same problems. There are a lot of religious people who don't stretch enough into the scientific realm.
Oh, totally agreed. And I think so. I mentioned last podcast, I'll say it again. I'm a believer of the Bible.
Yeah.
But if you ask me, well, prove to me that 2 + 2 = 4. There's no scripture that says this.
Exactly.
It's very easy to say I think the Bible is all truth, but not all truth is contained in the Bible.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely, we need to study the natural world. And if you're a creationist, if you believe in God, then he made the world
exactly
for you to explore.
And that's the biggest thing that to me is if I believe in the Bible and I believe in a creationist, therefore my God created everything, and nothing that you could discover should frighten me because
that's exactly right.
He created it. So why would I be upset with any scientific discovery ever? Obviously, without, you know, without looking at evolution or in a strict sense there, because so some scientists discover a new type of cell that doesn't, to me, anything discovered was created.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't feel, I feel a lot of religious people are afraid of science or are pushing against science because they think it's proving, or they're trying to disprove the Bible or any religious thing, and it's all encompassed.
They're separate. I don't think that there is, I don't think that theology and science are mutually exclusive. I think that you don't necessarily exclude one by having the other. So if you are a strong, you know, I have a bachelor's of science in mechanical engineering, and it's not microbiology, but it's explaining, you know, physical properties using mathematics and physics. And I believe it. It's validated. I can see it.
Yes. And I think, and this goes into a rabbit trail that could be a whole nother section, but I think part of the problem is, you know, the scientists or that side are worried that we're trying to push religion into a scientific classroom.
Right.
And I completely agree that mm-hmm. in an engineering class, of course, there should be no
That's right.
Bible study. Like, of course, that shouldn't cross over. And I don't feel there's a lot of areas where it does.
Mm-hmm.
And like we were talking about, I went to most of high school at a Christian school.
Mm-hmm.
I had chemistry class and a biology class, and never once within those classes did we discuss religion.
Right.
In a Christian school.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't an issue.
That's right.
So I'm going to take kind of a 90-degree turn here.
Go for it.
Because we're talking about what's the real problem. I'm going to go back to Bill Nye, and his push towards religion is halting scientific research in America, and I disagree with them in a sense that I think it's a completely different source that is causing our issues, and it's education.
Mm-hmm. Well, you would think that.
Look at that. Oh, man, look at this. And I'm going to get myself in trouble by saying some of these things.
When you point your finger, three of them are pointing backwards at him.
What?
It's really difficult to express in an audio format.
It's,
I mean, you can see it
here. We'll post a picture.
Okay.
You know, this year in my class, they're mandating more and more things. I now have to have a specific amount of time for reading
mm-hmm.
and a specific amount of time for math
mm-hmm.
and so forth. I do science once a week
yep.
for about 45 minutes.
Yep.
My science has nothing to do with religion. I never talk about creationism.
Mm-hmm.
I just teach science. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get kids interested in learning scientific things.
Well, and 40 science, minutes a week. Science is so many things.
Yes.
There's chemistry, physics, there's and geology,
where,
biography.
And to me, where did this come from? It's come from the state. It's come from Congress. It's come from, I heard a great term the other day. It was a mixture of education and bureaucrats. It was like educrats.
I said biography, and that's not really a science.
That's okay. We're just going to pretend it is. Educrats. And, you know, I'm being mandated to do all these other things, and I no longer can teach near as much science.
Mm-hmm.
I feel if Bill Nye wants to fight, he needs to fight the education system
mm-hmm.
to realize that science is more important. You know, I understand that a lot of teachers and a lot of people will say, well, you can integrate science into reading.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm supposed to be teaching about, you know, context clues and inferring from reading
mm-hmm.
while I'm doing an experiment on chemistry, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then to me, the other half of that is why would we integrate so much? Because how many times in your engineering job have you gotten out Moby Dick to use that as a reference on
right.
how to, those
Build
things
aren't
integrated. You know, you don't integrate literature with science like that. We need more time for science.
Uh-huh.
It has nothing to do. There are not churches at our school or knocking on our door trying to tell us to teach less science.
That's right. I agree with that.
It is the government and education system in general pushing us towards other things.
There you go. So who's the problem? The government.
The government, man. Anarchy. I mean, I think we're focused in the wrong spot.
I think that's a great way to wrap it up.
And, well, I'm not wrapped up yet.
Just kidding.
I'm almost there. But the problem is, when Bill Nye and these people make this fight, all you're going to do is polarize people more.
Agreed. And the same is true of Ken Ham and the flip side as well.
Yes.
They say that science is evil, that's not exactly helping.
Yeah, both sides are just, they're doing nothing but arguing, you know, getting people angry at each other.
That's right. If you enjoy your iPhone, then you probably like science.
Oh, that brings something up that really kind of annoyed me. Can I read you a real quick quote?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
I don't know. I got to find it. It was Jerry Coyne. And basically, and I won't read the whole thing, but basically he goes down to poking at the religionists. Is that a word? Religionists?
Sure. It is now.
About how, well, you guys, you don't believe in science, but you sure do enjoy all the things science has done for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel that's just getting childish.
Hmm.
You know, and I feel there are some religious people that need to be more thankful for science. But again, I feel if you really looked at it, religion hasn't halted science. And we're not sitting here saying, I'll thank, you know, God created this computer that we're recording a
right,
podcast on.
Right.
So I'm going to thank him for that. I understand that science has done these things.
Yes.
And I think both sides need to be better at that. I saw a meme. I keep bringing up memes.
Dude, you're crazy about these.
But they're so good. Of an old lady. An old lady on her deathbed or in the hospital, and she's like, you know, I just want to thank God for being healed. And then you have doctors and machines and all sorts of stuff around you that are keeping her alive.
Uh-huh.
You know, science is keeping her alive. And yeah, you gotta push your thankfulness and realize where these things are coming from.
Yes.
And I understand that.
Yep. I think I would like to believe that most people, Adam, are pretty moderate and they understand these things. So the government and the media is.
But they're not the
hard.
Loudest, and
that's
right. The problem.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
So everybody, engage in reasonable discourse, please. That's all we want.
And calling names and being like and just
yeah, calling people know, stupid because they believe
or
in Christianism.
Bible thumper.
Take it easy.
You're not gonna do anything.
They're not wicked heathens because they. It's really okay. It's never gonna get anywhere if we keep doing that.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's bust into the next segment, Adam.
All right.
Blindsided. All right, Adam. Well, in this blindsided segment, this is your first blindsided, man. We had a blindsided on, was it the first or the second episode where you asked me a question?
That was so long ago, and we're in like episode 4. I can't remember back to 1 or 2.
This is bad, yeah. Good thing we're keeping archives, because,
yeah.
Man, it's, you know, someday we'll be like, we were such noobs back then. We'll want to forget Adam,
well,
so
you
this
know,
is probably good.
This is a rabbit trail, but we listen to Stuff You Should Know a lot.
Uh-huh.
Josh and Chuck, which is a great podcast.
Hey, Josh and Chuck.
Hey, guys. But I feel like they're really good at that. They're on like episode 600, and they're like, oh, you remember, like,
remember that time we talked about fireflies?
Back in 200, you know, this episode 200, like, yeah, that was great. We're on 4.
Yeah.
We can't remember.
Uh-huh.
Oh, well.
Well, that's one of those things, I guess. All right, Adam, blindsided. Political topic for you.
Great.
One single sentence question.
Great.
Adam, why should I vote?
What, you just want me to repeat the Freakonomics take on this?
We also listen to Freakonomics. Hey, Steven and Steven.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, basically, the Freakonomics and their whole take on it was that your vote doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Data-wise, statistic-wise, your vote doesn't matter.
That's right. And that's why I'm asking, Adam.
So why do I vote?
Uh-huh.
Mm.
So you do vote then?
I do vote most of the time.
Would you be honest enough, open enough to tell us who you voted for in the last election?
Nope.
Okay. I will.
I didn't vote for the current person in the last election.
I didn't either, but I also didn't vote for Mitt Romney.
Yeah?
Gary Johnson, man.
Really?
Yeah, and I think this will come up, but go ahead.
Why should we vote? You know, I do vote. Maybe it's a naivete that I just feel I'm still taking a part on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, why should I vote? Because I feel it's how the system is. Now, I think some of it gets into it. I think we need to get rid of the Electoral College. I think with a lot of our technology nowadays, it should be more of a straight shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, vote and it's it.
Mm-hmm.
but
so just popular vote then.
Yeah.
Do you think that that biases? So electoral college is a big thing, right? That's whenever you mention voting, that's going to be a big discussion. But don't you think that it biases towards the urban areas, which are more typically Democratic leaning, more typically liberal leaning, if you just go with a popular vote?
It could, but I still feel that shouldn't the popular vote be it? I mean, it's the majority of the country that takes it. I mean, and I understand that that's the whole point of, you know, back with the big compromise and all those things, giving power to both sides, the small, and, you know, the majority and the minority. But
well, our government has checks and balances anyway.
Well, they're supposed
to. There's going to be representation from Congress for the states that don't vote for whoever the president's party is.
Yes. I don't feel that it'd be curious to know how many times the Electoral College was different than the popular vote.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's that often, if ever.
I don't know. That's I think it's
very, very rare.
Well, one of the things with the Electoral College, why it was put into place was so that one particular group couldn't dominate. So if you look back in history at why it came to be, it's because a certain group of people were being really disadvantaged by a policy that helped, you know, like the other 90% of the nation.
Yeah.
And so all of that 10% is going to show up to vote, but only a few of the 90% because, you know, they're the silent majority. And so it kind of balances that out.
Well, I think it's still very much that way. You have, like we've talked about before, your fringes are usually the loudest.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of times those are the people that show up, mm-hmm. and it can definitely skew it. Why do I vote? We're supposed to, right?
Hey, that's what I'm asking.
Hey, I like to do it. I think it's fun.
It does, you know, it does kind of feel patriotic.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a funny thing listening to that Freakonomics and saying your vote doesn't matter. Statistically, it will never change anything. But to me, I ask, okay, so if every single person stopped, obviously it would.
Yeah.
So is there there's got to be some line that, yes, it does. I mean, there's got to be some line of matter. But I don't know numbers that well.
No, I understand.
And I'm just going to convince myself it does matter.
Well, one of the things that I've done since this last election is, and I've only voted twice. I'm 25, okay, for anyone listening out there.
That's cute.
I know, right? With my deep voice.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had puberty at like 13, like everybody else. One of the things that I do is I vote for an ideal. And so for me, if you look back across, you know, all recorded presidents, you see a lot of Democrat and Republican.
Yeah.
And so it would take a whole lot. It would take me agreeing with pretty much all of one candidate's policies to not vote a third party.
Yeah.
Because when I say, when people say they want change, well, Democrat and Republican, you know, in sequence have run things for a really, really long time.
Yes.
And so to me, change is somebody else with a fresh perspective that doesn't have one of those major party affiliations.
When I feel we've talked about this before as far as future segments, I think the political party system is terrible.
Yes, and there's so much to it. You know, is it a natural consequence of our system? Maybe that's why it's here. I mean, nobody said there has to be two parties that share all the happy times.
Yeah, but it's just pushed. You know, it's too many people just vote for a party, and it's again... polarizing the nation one against the other.
That's right. So,
and that's not what we're looking for.
One of the things that really irritates me about politics in general, and we're going a little off topic, but we're
that's
doing okay,
okay.
is that I should not be able to determine your view on, say, abortion based on your view on climate change. They have very little to do with each other, and yet 90% of people, you tell me one, I can figure out the other.
Yeah.
That tells me that people in general aren't thinking about the topics independently enough.
Yeah, they're going for one candidate that is on their side on the one of those biggest issues.
Well, and the candidates are so flexible. You know, when they're in their state, they have their own policies. But then when they get on the national level, they're like, well, I have to take the party line.
Well, you know what's interesting to me on those things is that, and I find this kind of humorous, is like people want different things. If I think anybody with some intellectualness, and if they were honest, said, yeah, you know, over the last 5 years I've changed, and I've learned some things, uh-huh. and I've changed my mind. But holy cow, if a politician says something different than what they said 10 years ago,
this is why. Like, oh, this man, is what
they're,
I meant, and
they're a flip flopper, and they don't stick to their guns. Uh-huh. And I'm like, really? Wouldn't we want somebody that looks at the data and looks at the new things and says, you know what? I think I've changed my mind on that.
Flexibility, but what changing, a novel concept.
Changing your mind in politics is like the worst thing in the world.
Uh-huh.
And we don't want, people don't want that. They want somebody that's always thinking the same thing.
That's
even worse.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what do I know?
Well, you vote, Adam.
I'm gonna keep voting. I think it's awesome.
Adam, have I convinced you to maybe vote for a third party?
I voted for a third party in the last election.
Oh. Well, great.
Yeah. I love third parties.
Well then we are right on the same page.
Yeah.
Maybe we can convince some listeners here.
Just vote for third party. Don't look into their ideals and stuff. Just vote for them.
That's right. Just vote by color as long as it's not blue or red.
Yeah. You don't want to go with those guys, right? Kidding.
Well, shall we roll into the third segment?
That segment wasn't as long as the first.
No. And that's probably okay because we're already past our...
Keep listening.
Near the Fringe.
All right, last segment. Near the Fringe. This one's kind of near the Fringe.
It's really fringy, and I'm pretty excited about it.
What I find is going to be funny is people... comparing my feelings and thoughts from the first segment to this one, because on our first segment, I'm like, you know, we need to get along. We need to figure out better ways to work together.
And now you're like, boot them out.
I'm like, did you just steal something?
Chop off his hand. Make him swim.
You're out of the country, man. Today's Near the Fringe. We're going to be talking about, should we expel murderers and the such to an island? Kick them out of society.
Uh-huh.
Put them on a place that is completely wilderness.
So instead of trying to integrate them in society or squirrel them away, we just say done with it.
Yes.
Gone.
Now I'm gonna kind of put this sub note on there. I don't necessarily believe this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an interesting thought that I've always thought about.
Sure.
You know, so don't go thinking I'm like believing we need to implement this when I become president. I'm just saying it's, you know.
You guys can't see this right now, but Adam's like rubbing his forehead. He's I'm really like, nervous that people are going to come
out
and
freak out
for this.
I do completely believe that we need to be more creative in our
punishment system,
and I think that's what this leads to.
Yeah, I think part of what we're going to talk about in this segment is going to be just the punishment system in general.
Yeah,
and it's kind of going to evolve into that. But why booting him to an island? So obviously this has been done in history.
It has been done a number of times, actually, in different formats. Should we just go over some of the history of it?
Please do.
All right. Have you, Devil's Island? Ever heard of that?
No.
French. It was a French place. And now most of the islands that I've found...
We have a lot of French stuff on this show.
I know. They're awesome. They've been around a long time. Mm-hmm. Most of the ones I found were... And there were prisons set up on islands.
Yeah. Alcatraz
was
one I saw. Yeah.
My idea is just like, don't set up a prison. Like you just send them to an island. It's like Survivor. Like if you can't live in society... There's your new society. You just like, we're not building walls or helping them or putting guards. You just go live out there.
Right.
Anyways, so Devil's Island was a French one. 50,000 people died there. Terrible conditions, disease. Yep. I mean, it was a pretty big deal.
They were punished heartily for their crimes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. As far as I could be wrong here, but as far as I remember, you know, they put them. It was a prison, and they put them to work. It was work camps too. Mm-hmm. That was part of the issue with the bad conditions, because they overworked them.
A lot of them turned out being like slave colonies.
Yes,
I read that too. Yes,
I really should become better at pronouncing things. Kuobu Island, which was shut down in 2004. Some of
really?
These are fairly recent.
Wow.
Yes,
what,
and I don't know much. I didn't write it down.
Okay.
Some of these are, I guess, and when we have like Alcatraz, that was 1963 when it was shut down. So, I think there were some more recent than we think, but you don't ever hear about them, and especially being an American, I don't ever look at the news outside of my state. So
yeah. One of the thoughts that I had about this whole concept is, and this is something that may be in support of it, just the idea, is that, you know, these penal colonies expelling people from the country can work one of two ways. One, the people learn to live together and be productive and form their own society. Mm-hmm. Or two, they don't learn to work together and they kill each other off or die.
Yes.
In either way, they're either punished if they can't cooperate or they're rehabilitated. Well,
they're able to start their own life.
Yeah.
Well, I think, like you said, I think this is going to start coming down to what is the point of our whole prison system?
Mm-hmm.
What do we want to happen to these people?
You choke there on the word rehabilitation, right?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Well, does anybody believe that our prison system is actually rehabilitating people in a good way?
Yeah, see, that's exactly one of the things I wrote down, too. There's a distinction between incarceration and rehabilitation.
And I don't think it's working. Now, we also have to, I want to you know, put out here that when I say kick these people off to an island, I'm talking pretty bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get caught selling marijuana, I don't want to kick you out of the society. Mm-hmm. You know, or even to an extent, you know, even any kind of monetary action or, you know,
blue collar kind of thing.
Or
white collar.
I'm talking serious societal issues here. People who, you know, mass murder or murderers or those kind of people that cannot safely live in our society.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a number that there's currently 3,108 people on death row. So apparently we have over 3,000 people that we have determined cannot live here, are not allowed in society. We want to put them to death. Most of them will just live out their lives in prison.
Yeah.
And so in my idea is...
Consuming resources. They are not helping to produce if and that we have already legally determined anyway...
That we don't want them.
Unfit to consume, yeah.
So why do that? Why not just say, hey, you've made the choices to not follow our rules drastically.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put you somewhere else.
Yeah.
Australia.
System of a Down has a song, the prison song. We need to splice it in here. That's your task.
And go.
About basically, they're talking about basically, there's so many people in prison for drug crimes,
yes,
that really are kind of manufactured as their, you know, is their thing. But yes, what you're saying is that anybody on death row has done something so bad that society has said, we're done with you.
Yep.
It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
And what we're saying is, could you save time, some money, some resources by, I mean, we're already gonna just kill them. You know, the whole people colony thing too, where we expel them, and they had a choice to commit these crimes. If they didn't, you know, if they were criminally insane or something, that may be a different issue. But they had a choice to defy society's laws, and if they're in this colony, they can make another choice. They can choose to do it again and kill themselves, essentially, or they can choose to say, "I wasn't working. I got to do something else."
Yeah. Well. You know, we didn't mention Australia, although we've mentioned it a few times. This is one of the places that this has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And in reading up on that, it said that one of the reasons they took people to Australia was because of overcrowding in the prison system.
Of the prisons, yes.
And that kind of sounds familiar, right? And the number I saw was 8 out of 10 people were there for petty theft. Mm-hmm. So there's overcrowding because we're putting so many people in prison for things that maybe they shouldn't be.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they started, then because of that, they started taking people to Australia and putting them in that situation.
And Australia is wildly successful now.
Yeah. See, so maybe we put them on an island.
Only proof you need.
And suddenly it'll be a new country.
Australia is one thing, and this expulsion from the nation is one thing. A lot of what I read was kind of the opposite way, actually. It was much less extreme. In fact, it was treating the prisoners better. So a couple examples I have is that Sweden, they use much more frequent electronic tagging. They have a name for it, probably in Swedish. Is that what they speak? Swedish in Sweden? Dude, I am so culturally just bad. They use electronic tagging a lot more so that people that are not super dangerous to society, you know, murderers, rapists, these kind of things, they're locked away. But their incarceration rate in Sweden is 66 in 100,000, 0.066%, versus the U.S. is 707 per 100,000, 0.707%. And you might get lost in the decimals, but that means Sweden is completely 10 times better on their incarceration rate.
Okay.
Just by, for minor crimes, using electronic tagging so that people know where they are.
Yeah.
But it's kind of an easier way to parole where they can sort of re-enter society.
Well, I really do think we should be more creative on some of these things. And my ideas could be completely wrong. I understand I haven't researched them enough to know if they would work. But like blue-collar crimes, a CEO does something and steals a ton of money. I don't think he should go to prison. I think he should have some sort of, I don't know, mandate or law put on him that limits his earning for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
you know,
it's like trading places, man. I love that movie. Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy.
Yeah,
that, you know, it strikes me the best way to make rich people angry is to turn them into poor people.
Yeah, there you go. It's problem solved. And it's the same way even within my classroom. Like, again, I'm gonna get in trouble for saying certain things, but there I could have such more of an effective management system if I was allowed to get more creative.
Hmm.
You know, a kid's bullying or a kid's doing something, if I could put a sign on that kid and make him walk around for the rest of the week that says, I'm a mean person,
mm-hmm.
That kid's going to hate it.
I always like it when I read about judges that have unique or creative punishments. I think that is a cool thing.
I think it'd be far more effective than taking recess or just, you know, some of these things that the only things that we can do. And I think it's the same way in the prison system.
Just taking their freedom and locking them away.
Yeah.
Well, and obviously, I think a lot of people from whatever political side you're on are going to say, it's not really working here.
Yeah. So put them on an island.
Well, while we're talking about creative ways, again, putting them on an island, making more use of things that we already have, like e-tagging. And then another thing I saw that was really neat, and I'll put a link to this in the show notes. There was a whole article that was really good. It was about Bestoy Prison Island in Norway. The prisoners are given trust and responsibility, and one of the inmates said they're treated like grown-ups. And basically, they get to have jobs. They grow crops. They're almost completely self-sustained.
Yeah.
They basically have a society that's tended by guards. You know, they don't have freedom of movement. But basically, they're rehabilitated in a very true sense by having ownership in the society that you know, Norway has created. And this is what I really liked about that. The recidivism rate in Norway is lower than any other European country, and half that of the United Kingdom at 30%. Bestoy itself, that one island, is 16%, which means one in six. Only one in six prisoners from this island ever goes back to crime.
Yeah. Well, do you know what the rate is here in America?
I don't. I should have looked it up.
51.8%.
Okay, so three times.
Give or take.
Yeah, three times or more for what we do here versus this creative solution.
Yes. Well, and I was watching a documentary once on Russia and Russian prisons. And
they probably just straight up kill them.
Well, they are far more intense.
They're waterboarded in vodka. Yeah,
they're just what, you know, some people think prisons should be. It's very, very harsh, mm-hmm. very intense, but it doesn't help.
Yeah.
There's still a very high recidivism rate.
Yep.
The way we're doing it is not working.
Yes.
Now, again, that's kind of separate from my original idea because, again, I'm
that's pretty harsh.
The people I had talked about sending off were talking pretty drastic people
that probably are not going to
rehabilitate anyone.
Uh-huh. They're probably not going
to. Or they've had multiple chances of creative ways to rehabilitate and they have not.
I can't imagine. And this is another thing that would be interesting to look into. I'm sure most people's first crime is not murder.
Yeah.
That's just a guess, but
you never know.
That's right.
I'd look that up for you, but I'm not going to.
And I think that when you look at just human motivation in general, and even like animal behavioral training, positive reinforcement is almost always a better instruction method than punishment. And I think that like the Bestoy prison, that really utilizes that.
Yeah, but the thing about positive reinforcement is it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at it with like a child, and you know my son does something very wrong. I have to fight my emotions mm-hmm. and my instant anger to just punish and punish and punish, and in turn I have to expend a lot more energy in finding the ways to positively mm-hmm. reinforce.
And some of these people are so hardened. A lot of them are not. That's making a huge generalization.
Yes,
but some of these people are so hardened that if you don't do anything right to reward, how do you reward good behavior?
Well, and I think it's it's hard to be a good parent, and it's hard to be a good whatever. And I think it's so much easier to yell and scream and punish,
mm-hmm. yes,
than to be creative and be positive and find a way to change the behavior. It's a lot easier just to yell at them.
Mm-hmm. Well, luckily, Adam, our legal system is pretty brutally slow.
Yeah. So I will start looking into maybe possible islands.
Okay. You could just buy your own private island. Yeah. You could have like a private prison.
Private prison. That'd be great.
That's a great business venture I've heard. They have franchises now.
Well, Will you
make a prison?
Give me some money for that?
Yeah, we can split it, man.
Okay.
We'll go 50-50s.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that's going to be our podcast for today. We kind of turned it more into 3 15-minute segments. I hope nobody's angry at us for that.
They might be. But you know what? That's okay, because then we'll get more email.
There we go. Dude, they're going to get like 30 seconds into the first segment and be emailing us, but...
That's all right. Well, and I had thought about, too, in those kind of situations, we might have to make a new segment that's not Fandemonium, but that's a corrections or ideas one. Because if we
legitimately...
People
are going to write in angry and be like, don't put me under that fan segment.
We're not your fans. We're angry at you. We read angry letters as if they're happy with us. Thomas in Colorado said, you guys are terrible. Yeah. Thanks, Thomas.
I really hate the way you...
No, but really, you know, if somebody sends an email and says, you know what, it was interesting, but if you look at it this way, it's a completely different idea.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we could have some segments on corrections, you know, mm-hmm. after a while, I think.
Yep, that's fine. And please do. If you want to contact us, email us in at podcast@travislane.com. We'll have some other interesting links in the show notes, and we'll catch you next time.
We'll let the music take you out.
Yeah.